Hi, can I get a cortado and a croissant?
Hello, welcome to the next episode of In a Cafe with me, Brian Greenwald. Today we are sipping a nice, we're sipping on a latte and some avocado toast. Delicious stuff right here. Hey, go pour yourself a coffee. Let's sit down, let's chat. Today I wanted to chat about this idea that has come up recently. Just like a thought. I've been thinking, like, what is the perception of me through a straight man's perspective? You know, like, that's something that I haven't, not that I haven't thought about, but I haven't, like, tried to think about. Sorry, I was sipping coffee. I feel like I've always been on alert of other people's perceptions of me, but when it came to, like, a straight man, I kind of just, like, pushed that away just because, like, growing up, I always felt like people wanted me to be a certain way growing up, not based off of, like, the people I was surrounding myself with, but just based off of, like, societal norms of growing up identifying as a man. It just always felt like you played a role in society as a domineering person who needed to assert himself as a strong person who, I don't know, like, that's just, like, how I felt like I needed to be, or, like, needed to become, just in society. And so once I figured out, like, my queerness and realized that there's other paths for me and I don't have to follow, you know, the norms, it was just, like, an immediate thing where I was like, you know what, let's push all of the norms aside and, like, try not to focus on any of that anymore and really bask in my queerness and embrace that. And I think since doing that, I really haven't really took into account a straight man's perspective of me. And it's just been coming up recently of, like, what does that look like, you know? And I think when it comes to relationships and other people having relationships around me, I start to feel like, you know, I have a lot of girlfriends, you know, and they're going into relationships and they're forming their own thing with men. And a lot of the times they're straight men. And so I always start to think, like, what are their boyfriends or whoever they're seeing, what do they think of, like, them hanging out with me, right? Because there's always this thing where it's like, and I think this is a very generational idea of, like, the boyfriend of the girl being jealous of the girl's gay friend, you know, like, being jealous that they're hanging out with them or they're hanging out with me, you know, like, they're being jealous of that, maybe not jealousy, but more of, like, this rage, like, why are you hanging out with this man when you could be hanging out with me, type of thing. It's a very toxic thing that can really ruin relationships all around. And I think growing up now and being in my 20s, I'm starting to see that a lot more and starting to see, you know, just all these different perspectives come into account when it comes to me being queer and now that affecting my own relationships with people who maybe are a little bit more closed-minded, or maybe they're not closed-minded, but they're allowing other people who are closed-minded into their lives. Therefore, it affects their relationship with me, and now my relationships are possibly able to deteriorate because of that. And that's a sucky feeling to think of. And, you know, it's got me just thinking of, like, damn, like, what are those perceptions of me? You know, like, what is that straight man that I've kind of pushed aside? What do they think I'm doing with these people? You know what I mean? Like, I have best friends who are girls, and it's like, we're just friends, we're just hanging out, you know? Like, there's nothing more to it. And I think it's so interesting to kind of dissect the straight man's view of this and understand their own values through this, because clearly, you know, if you're, just to say this real quick, if you're jealous or you think something's happening between me and your girlfriend, it's like, fuck you. Like, I don't know where you're coming from when you're thinking this. It's like, that just means you're probably an idiot, and you're probably going about life thinking women are only used for sexual purposes and women are only there to serve men. And that's such a fucked up thing. And I think there's no other way that you are thinking throughout life and society if you are feeling that way. Because it's like, you have no other thought process besides the fact that I could be viewing your girlfriend in a sexual way. Like, that's so fucked up. Like, I'm not. Like, she's my friend. I'm queer. I'm gay. I'm open about that. It's like, fuck you for putting me inside of this box of an idiotic man. Like, that's so pathetic. Besides that, put that aside, I kind of wanted to talk about, you know, from this, I started to think about the idea of masculinity and, you know, not only the role that it's played in my own life, but just like this idea, because I feel like as a queer man, I don't really subscribe to the whole idea of hypermasculinity. And so I found it really interesting when looking up some stuff and researching a little bit of what hypermasculinity it is and what that looks like, and realizing how distant I am from that. It was just very interesting. I thought we could talk about that. Getting into some, like, definitions first, I wanted to kind of define what masculinity was, because I do feel like we throw that word around and not really have an understanding of what it even means. So I found that masculinity, it's a social expectation of being a man. The term masculinity refers to the roles, behaviors, and attributes that are considered appropriate for boys and men in a given society. Masculinity is constructed and defined socially, historically, and politically, rather than being biologically driven. Which, that last part was so, like, it's obvious to me that it's not biological, right? Like, it comes from society and how we're just raised and how we're, you know, what we learn from all of that. It's like, this isn't biological. And I think a lot of men, toxic men in particular, they probably think it's a biological thing. They probably think that, like, this is just the way it is, you know, that I'm a man, like, I have to be thinking this way. And it's like, that's so not true at all. And it's like, I think we have to realize that this is something that is, you know, socially, historically, and politically driven. And that means we can change it. That means we can change it for the better. And I don't know, you know, why we're not dropping these ideas when we realize it's only hurting us at the end of the day. You know, being open about your gender and what that means in life, and being open about your natural thoughts on a given day, being open about your views, it's important. But I feel like this idea of masculinity that we've thrown in people's faces over generations has only been a toxic perspective. It's only been from a toxic view. And, you know, it's not helping anybody, right? It's only pulling us back. So I also wanted to define hypermasculinity. The term hypermasculinity, it's first appeared in a 1984 study by Donald Mosher of the University of Connecticut. According to Mosher, it consists of three factors: callous sexual attitudes towards women, and the belief that violence is manly, which I think this is obviously the very toxic thing that stems from the idea of masculinity. And, you know, the belief that violence is manly has been the very big argument when it comes to that split between, I guess you could say, like, gender roles. Is like, we really love to have violence be the definition of how a man should act. And it's like, violence should never, it shouldn't have ever entered the equation. Yet it's been passed down through generations and is now still here in society as something that we believe we need to do, you know? It's like these toxic men believe that they need to assert dominance and violence in order to get their way, in order to state their power in a specific dynamic. And it's so, it's only hurting people, you know? And, you know, talking about these definitions and everything, at the end of the day, it's like these things are still happening because there's still a lack of mental health services for these maybe closed-minded men. They all think, you know, mental health services, they all think that it's, you know, it's slightly still a taboo topic. And, you know, I think we're definitely a lot more open about it as of recent with therapy and everything through social media and talking about it through social media. You know, that's only the first step. But I think we need to still, I still think it's a taboo topic when it comes to conversations that we're having within the family. And I think that's such an important place to talk about this, because at the end of the day, this toxic masculinity, the hypermasculinity of the whole thing, it's all coming from these generational values that we see when we're younger and growing up in these family situations. You know, family is such an important role in all of our lives because it's the very thing that we learn societal norms and everything from. And because it's still a taboo topic to talk about mental health services and therapy and all of it, it's like, that's why we still have these people on the streets being these toxic people and spreading their toxicity, you know, through friend groups, and then the friend groups trickle down to the larger community, and now at the end of the day we still have all of these hypermasculine men ruining society. And it's like, if we don't open up these conversations within the family environment, we're not going to get anywhere. And I do really believe that it's still a taboo topic within family. I really think most families don't talk about this, even though we are getting more open within social media and media in general. We're a lot open with it. And I think within friend groups as well, we are starting to get open with it, which is a great, 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 great step. But I think we need to progress that into the family environment. I really do think that's like the next step that we need to trickle these ideas through and get it in people's heads that it's not the right thing to bring violence into any equation, and men need to realize that. So, but yeah, that's my like deconstruction of the idea of masculinity. Pretty heavy topic today, but I feel like it's just a thought that's come to my brain this past week, and just fathoming. This coffee's delicious though, guys. Like, what the fuck? I found this new, like, coffee shop nearby. It's just great. When you find a new coffee shop and you get new coffee beans and it's like, damn, it just hits, you know? I'm also drinking from like my cute little like vintage glass coffee mug that's like the globe. I feel like they had this in like the 80s or 90s, but like one of those like world maps on like the clear glass mug. So, so cute. But yeah, that is our episode today. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it made you think a little bit, and hopefully this starts more conversations that can be had. That would be cool. So, yeah. I love you guys. Hopefully we can chat more later. I'll see you in the next episode. Have a great day. Bye.